I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes around? Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers. 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne. And at his feet they'll cast their golden crowns. When the man comes around. Whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words long written down. When the man comes around. Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers. 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In measured 100 weight and penny pounds.
And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him.
Everybody, Pastor Buddy, joining you live tonight around the world on WWRV. Glad to have you in here on the late hour. Got a great message for you tonight. The Lady in Red, we're going to discuss the last day, New World Order, and its religious overtones. I don't know where you've ever thought about it or not, but the New World Order has to have a religion. And the Bible talks about the mother of harlots. And and the abominations of the earth. That would fit well, I believe, if I can say that. I think that would fit well with the church of Revelation 17. It talks about the woman dressed in scarlet. So tonight, the lady in red, she's waiting for the end of the age, and she has been around from the very beginning. All the world will wonder after the beast that was and is not, and yet is. You know, if you really look at the framework of this woman, she has come into Christianity to basically rule Christianity. One of the problems with Christianity is the lady in red. She is deeply affected, and the more one probes into the history of that lady of Revelation 17 and its current practices and the past, the Inquisition and the things that the more impressed you become with the amazing accuracy of the vision that John received centuries before, that it would be become a reality. And so then I believe the great truth that John wrote about in Revelation 17 is the most revealing chapter in the Bible concerning the false church. Now, the Bible says when you would do good, evil is always present. The Bible says that the woman that brought forth the man-child and all the children that were produced from the man-child that believed on him, the Bible said that this woman came viciously and violently against this true beginning of what we call Christianity. Sadly, the Roman Catholic Church basically fits the description of Mother of Harlots and Abominations as precisely as she fits the other. Much of the cause can be traced to the unbiblical demand that her priest be celibate. Now, the Apostle Paul, we know that he was celibate and recommended that life chosen by others who wanted to devote themselves fully to serving his Messiah, Yahweh in the flesh body. But if you notice Paul's writing, he didn't make it a condition for church leadership as the Catholic Church has done, thereby imposing an unnatural burden upon all the clergy that were very few that could bear such a burden. But on the contrary, he wrote that a bishop should be the husband of one wife. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. And again, when he was talking about the requirements for elders, he said the same requirement. It's okay to be celibate. He said, I would that you would be like I am. But if you can't contain yourself, it's better to marry than to burn. Even for bishops and for elders, Paul wrote and cleared the way. The Catholic Church just says that their priests must be celibate. It is the largest congregation of priests, unmarried priests. It also has the reputation for being full of homosexuals. They have paid out literally millions and millions and millions of dollars because she has been sued by some people that's been affected and offended by the practices of these who are within the walls or confines of the mother of harlots. And so then, Peter, whom the Catholics erroneously claim was the first pope, we know that he was married. We know he has children. So we know that some of the other apostles were married also. And so then, there having been married before was accepted as the ongoing norm. And Paul himself argued that he had the right to marry like the rest, but he had chosen on his own to remain celibate and worship and work for Yahweh. We know that that was his teaching. And the Roman Catholic Church has insisted that their priest enter in as celibate, even though many popes among them, we could name many, that was not celibate, and their identification is unmistakable if you look at the history. However, her claim today that they are, that they do have the power to order their priest to remain celibate, and they practice celibacy throughout the priesthood of the Roman Catholic Church, and therefore it is a magnet to those who would remain celibate for reasons to hide other immoral sins that they keep hidden. Now, history, going back and checking history, it talks about the mocked false claim of celibacy, and it talks about Rome has more prostitutes than any other city because she has the most celibates. An example, Pius II declared that Rome was the only city run by bastards, sons of popes and cardinals. The Catholic historian and former Jesuit, Peter de Rosa, wrote that popes had mistresses of 15 years of age and were guilty of incest and sexual perversions of every sort. They had innumerable children and murdered. Some of the popes were murdered in the very act of adultery by jealous husbands who found them in bed with their wives. Well, at least some of them are not of the other persuasion. In the old Catholic phrase, why be holier than the Pope, is the common saying among those that know the history of the Church. Even in the days where they were guilty, these wicked popes in the Inquisition and in the times of past history, they were mass murderers, they were fornicators, they were robbers, they were warmongers, they were guilty of massacre of thousands. I mean, it's almost beyond being funny how that a woman known as the Lady in Red could be so evil and yet be so appealing and drawing had such drawing power to it. The abominations are unlimited. Notice this. The Pope is not only the representative of Jesus Christ, he is Jesus Christ himself, hidden under the veil of human flesh. That was published in the Catholic National on July 1895. Another quote. The Pope and God are the same, so that he has all power in heaven and earth. Pope Pius V quoted in Barclay, chapter 27, page 218. Notice this quote. And God himself is obligated to abide by the judgment of his priest or his vicar, and either not to pardon or to pardon according as they refuse to give pardons, provided the penitent is capable of it. And that's by St. Apostolos de Lorica in the Dignity of the Priesthood, page 27. These abominations are what John foresaw when he prophetically wrote. They're not from the past, ladies and gentlemen, because they continue today. And the Bible says in the 18th verse, amazing, that they would reign over the kings of the earth. Now here's priests that are reigning over kings. The angel revealed to John that the woman was a great city which reigned over the kings of the earth. Is there such a city? The answer would be yes. Only one. Vatican City. Popes crowned and deposed kings and emperors, exacting obedience by threatening them with excommunication. At the time of the First Vatican Council in 1869, J.H. Ignaz von Dollinger, professor of church history in Munich, Germany, warned that Pope Pius IX would force the council make an infallible dogma out of that pet theory of the popes, that they could force kings and magistrates by excommunication and its consequences to carry out their sentences of confiscation and imprisonment and in death and in violent acts against the constituents. He reminded his fellow Roman Catholics of some of the evil consequences of the papal political authority. When, for instance, Pope Martin IV placed King Fredo of Aragon under excommunication and interdict when promised indulgences for all their sins to those who fought with him and the tyrant Charles I of Naples against Pedro, and finally declared the kingdom of Pedro forfeited, which cost the two kings of France and Aragon their life and the French the loss of an army. Published in Dollinger on page 10 and 12 through 12, that the popes had great influential power over the kings of the earth. Though the current pope now lacks the power to enforce such brutal claims, today his church still retains the dogmas which authorize him to do so, and the very practical effects of his power are no less than those of his predecessors. They are exercised quietly behind the scenes. The Vatican is the only city which exchanges ambassadors with nations. And she does so with every major country on earth. Ambassadors come to the Vatican from every major country, including the United States. Not out of mere courtesy, but because of the power of the Pope, who is the most powerful ruler religiously on earth today. Even President Clinton journeyed to Denver in August 1993 to meet the Pope. He addressed him as Holy Father and Your Holiness. Unlike any other city on earth, the Vatican is acknowledged as a sovereign state in its own right. Separate and distinct from the nation of Italy surrounding it, Italy has absolutely no power or rulership over the Vatican compound. There is no other city in history of which this has been true and is such as still the case today. Only the Vatican could it be said that is a city that reigns over the kings of the earth. The phrase, the worldwide influence of Washington, means the influence not of that city, but of the United States, which has its capital in Washington. When one speaks, however, of the influence of the Vatican around the world, that is exactly what it means. The city and the worldwide power of Roman Catholicism and its leader, the Pope, the Vicar of Christ. Vatican City is absolutely unique in that it fits the phrase, the city that reigned over the kings of the earth. She's known in Revelation 17:6 as drunk with the blood of the saints. Now I have read the Fox Book of Martyrs. I was terrified to think that history in the past would permit such power and still call these people holy. That's why the Bible and all the inquisitions that they held, they would literally dig up bodies of dead people and convene a court and rule their property forfeited to the Catholic Church, and she became rich by that practice. She was also powerfully drunken on the blood of the saints. Revelation 17:6 says, John noticed that the woman was drunk and not with alcoholic beverages. She is drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of the Messiah. Now, that's a horrible picture. It's not merely her hands that are red with his blood, but she is drunk with the actual blood of the bodies of the saints, the slaughter of the innocent, who, for conscience sake, would not yield to her totalitarian demands, and she exercised her authority by condemning them to death. And therefore, she became drunk with history, repeat with her crimes against those that she claimed jurisdiction over. The sixth verse says, and I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witness of the Messiah. And when I saw her, I wondered greatly. A natural assumption is to make that it is referring to the slaughtering of the Christians during the tribulation period. But that is not the case. The Antichrist and the false prophet are responsible for the mass killing of Christians, which happens during the second half of the tribulation, in response to whether or not a person takes the mark of the beast. At that time, this one world church will have been outlawed and completely destroyed. Now, when confronted with the heresy, the church does not content herself with persuasion or arguments of an intellectual and moral order that appears to her insufficient. She has recourse to force, to corporal punishment, and to torture. And history gives her that record. The only church in the world sitting on seven hills, the Roman Catholic Church, for centuries held Europe in their terrible grip when Canon Latorre wrote his History of the Inquisition. He was the secretary to the Inquisition in Madrid from 1790 to 1792 and had access to the archives of all the tribunals, and it's estimated that in Spain alone, the number of condemned, executed, and persecuted exceeded 3 million, with about 300,000 of those burned at the stake. R.W. Thompson, The Papacy and the Civil Power, published in 1776 on page 82. A Catholic historian comments upon the events leading to the suppression of the Spanish Inquisition in 1809. When Napoleon conquered Spain in 1808, a Polish officer in his army reported that the Dominicans, who were in charge of the Inquisition, blockaded themselves in their monastery in Madrid, and when the colonel's troops forced an entry, the Inquisition denied the existence of any torture chambers. The soldiers searched the monastery and discovered them under the floors. The chambers were full of prisoners, all naked, many of them insane, and the French troops, used to cruelty and blood, could not even stomach the sight and the plight of those who had fell under the power of the Holy See. They emptied the torture chambers, packed the monastery with gunpowder, and blew it up. De Rosa, in his publication on page 172. And so then, in 1798, we know that Napoleon deposed the Pope and put down his power, and so then ended the reign, or so it seems, and yet the Catholic Church still flourishes. She has a city under her control. The kings of the earth commit fornication with her. And now, they operate in a way undercover. They never release any evidence of the atrocities that they have committed or will commit, because there's no demand from any nation on earth that has the power to demand it, like it was when Napoleon conquered Spain in 1808. They would bring the prisoners. They would devise ingenious tortures so excruciating and barbarous that one is sickened by their recital. Church historian Bishop William Shaw Kerr writes, "The most ghastly abomination of all was their systems of torture. The account of it so cold-blooded that operations make one shudder at the capacity of human beings for cruelty. All this was decreed and regulated by the popes who claim to represent Christ on earth." Ladies and gentlemen, it is so sad that we have a history that even today it's a shame to speak of those things. Mr. DeRosa, who wrote the book about the 3 million victims, nothing mentioned about him, hardly any today. He himself was a Catholic. And he said, "We were responsible for the persecution, for the Inquisition, for the slaughtering heretics by the thousand, for reintroducing torture into Europe as part of the judicial process wielded under the name of Christ. Yet the Roman Catholic Church has never officially admitted to any of these practices, which were evil. Neither has she apologized to the world or any of the victims or their descendants. Nor could the Pope apologize today, because the doctrines responsible for those terrible things still underpin their position. Rome has not changed at heart, no matter what sweet words she speaks when she serves her purpose. Pagan Rome made sport of throwing to the lions, burning and otherwise killing thousands of those who professed Christ. Yet Christian Rome slaughtered many times that number of both Christians and Jews, besides those victims of the Inquisition. There were all kinds of people, the Huguenots, the Albanese, the Waldenese, and other Christians who were massacred, tortured, and burned at the stake by the hundreds of thousands simply because they refused to align themselves with the Roman Catholic Church and its corruption and its dogmas and practices. Out of conscience, they tried to follow the teachings of Christ and the apostles independent of Rome, and for that crime, they were maligned, hunted down, imprisoned, tortured, and slain, and burned at the stake. Why would they never apologize or even admit to this Holocaust? No one calls her to account. Protestants have now forgotten the hundreds of thousands of people burned at the stake for simply refusing to bow to papal authority. Amazingly, Protestants are now embracing Rome as Christian, while she insists that the separated brethren be reconciled to her on her unchangeable terms. Many evangelical leaders are intent upon working with Roman Catholics to evangelize the world. They don't want to hear any negative reminders. You can't bring up the past, in other words, of the millions of people tortured and slain by the church. And now even the Pope is welcome around the world. All the sitting presidents and the kings never bring up the history of the evil that they have brought through this woman that is described in the Bible as the woman dressed in scarlet red. Ladies and gentlemen, those who are called of God, whether Catholic or Protestant, are part of the same body. They share a belief in the basis of the virgin birth, the deity of Christ, his bodily resurrection, his imminent return, and the authority of his infallible word. They also share the same mission of presenting Christ as Savior and Lord to a needy world. Therefore, they are the harlots that would hate the whore, and yet, under political pressure of the day, they will not bring up the things that they know to be true as they sweep that under the rug and try to reconcile their differences and bring in what is known as a New World Order. Are you ready for the New World Order? Did you know that the Roman Catholic Church is not a member of the World Council of Churches? It's never even applied for membership. The Roman Catholic Church, its self-understanding has been one reason why it is not joined. Rome understands that the road does not lead to Geneva, but leads back to Rome. Therefore, they must join her. The Pope declared on July the 10th in the year 207, he declared that other denominations separate from the Catholic Church are not true churches. And he asserted the universal supremacy of the Catholic Church, approving a document that was released saying that other denominations were not true churches, that they would have to return to the Holy Universal Church and come under the power of the Pope. It's absolutely necessary that the Christian community be subject in all things to the sovereign prophet if it wishes to be part of the divinely established society founded by our Redeemer. End of quote. Commenting on the term ecumenical movement, the decree on that stated that when the obstacles to the ecclesiastical communion have been gradually overcome, all Christians will at last be accepted back into the common celebration of the universe, be gathered into the one and only the church in that unity which Christ bestowed on his church from the beginning. We believe that this unity subsists in the Catholic Church as something she can never lose, and we hope that it will continue to increase until the end of the time when churches will reunite under the Pope. In other words, this World Church Council is working to make the Church of Rome that they reunite in a religious gathering to restore unity and to be united by the separated traditions, by bringing them within the unity of the Roman Catholic Church. And that is the department of the Catholic Church, is the removal of the obstacles and a promoting of a single worship in the communion celebration, and a regathering of all Christians into the one and only church with the kings of the earth, urging the participation of those denominations that have separated from the whore to return back from whence they came. Ladies and gentlemen, we are at a time when I heard another voice saying, come out of her, my people, so that you will not participate in her sins, and I will receive you. Revelation 18, verse 4. For her sins have piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. There's going to come a time that she will give an account for every drop of blood that she's exacted from those who resisted her. Verse 6, pay her back, even as she has paid, give back to her double according to her deeds. In the cup which she has mixed, mix twice as much for her. Verse 7, to the decree that she glorified herself and lived sensuously, to the same degree, give her torment and mourning. For she says in her heart, I sit as a queen, and I am not a widow, and will never see mourning. And for this reason, in one day, her plagues will come. Pestilence, mourning, famine, and she will be burned up with fire, for Yahweh God who judges her will remember her sins, for his judgment is strong. Ladies and gentlemen, can you ever see a time when the world will come back under a religious head and join back together in a new world order where this religious head will again be fully empowered. And the biblical significance of this momentous development will be widely recognized, for the Bible says, all will receive the mark and will wonder after the beast and the false prophet. Ladies and gentlemen, we are bound into this revival of the regathering of those in the revived Roman Empire, which will form a new world order with the Pope at the head of the religious system, and you already know what he'll do. He won't care to burn you at the stake. They have done it before. They will use the same tactics that they used before. And it's a deadly, worldly system that has its rebirth coming back. All the earth will wonder at the beast that was. Her deadly wound healed. She comes back because the deadly wound was the denominational systems, the Protestants that hated her, came out of her, will stay for a while, but will reconcile their differences. And the 27 member states of the former Holy Roman Empire and the European Union will reunite with Rome as the religious head and the Pope representing as the vicar of Christ, God incarnate in the earth, then we will have a religious order that will demand your participation, and if you refuse, you will meet the fate of those of the past who were burned at the stake, who were slaughtered, who were put in prison and tortured, who were literally buried alive, dug up, retried, all of their properties confiscated, and it was a dreadful, terrifying, extremely strong beast that raises its head. It's the fourth beast upon the earth. It represents the Roman Empire, which had its deadly wound and it was healed, and the beast's head had 10 horns. Representing 10 kings or kingdoms. And while Daniel was pondering the 10 horns, an 11th horn, a little one, began to emerge from the midst of the others, uprooting 3 of the horns. The little horn was intelligent and had a mouth from which it blasphemed God. It represented the Antichrist, with the 10 horns representing the rise of the new Roman Empire and its ruling body of 10 leaders, with the Pope being the religious figurehead to whom they committed fornication with. It is a new holy empire. It will rule the earth with a rod of iron. And those who resist it will be imprisoned, will be killed, will be tortured, and will be put to death, burned at the stake, will be coming back in vogue, letting you lay in a prison somewhere and rot will be the norm rather than the exception, and the Lady in red, riding a beast. It's the Council of Europe. And for the Revelation Beast of 17, we have a fulfillment of this new world order emerging now as we speak, as the new world order plans the third world war to bring in complete, total submission to its cause and its objectives, which will be to rule the earth with a rod of iron. Europe will be no stranger. It stood by while the Pope executed his powers in a manner that is unprecedented. It will stand by again as he employs the same tactics that the Church of Revelation 17 employed during the times that she killed and maimed and drunk the blood of the saints. We got a lot to look forward to. O saints of Yahweh, prepare yourself. Stand in the gap. Make up the hedge. Be ye also ready. Do not conform to the world. Do not become victims. Do not join the eating, the drinking, and the being merry, but put on the armor. The armor of righteousness. The armor of joy. Do not follow Nimrod and the tower of Babel. Bring about your soul full circle to say, as for me and my house, I will serve Yahweh. I will be faithful in a few things. But the real tragedy from all this and the New World Order government includes America to become a victim. It's so sad. Those who know the truth will do exploits. Come out of her, my people. Be not the partakers of her sins, and I will receive you. We are in debt. The whole world is now being set up for the New World Order. Wars and rumors of wars will become victims. You will be hungry. You will need to trade your spiritual liberty to become a prisoner of the New World Order. You will sell out for a piece of bread, because a man will give all to save his life when he's tried. He will fail. He will fall. But let's make it a martyr's party. Let's stand up. Let's watch. Let's pray. And let's get ready. For in Daniel chapter 2, verse 40, then there shall be a fourth kingdom, what I've been reading about tonight and preaching about, as strong as iron. Insomuch as iron crushes and shatters all things, so shall iron will break in pieces. It will crush and break all the things before it in pieces. And in that you saw the feet and the toes partly of potter's clay and mixed iron, it will be a divided kingdom. But it will have in it the toughness of iron, inasmuch as you saw the iron mixed with common clay. Which side are you on? Are you on the Lamb who taketh away the sins of the world? Or are you going with the powerful New World Order for a piece of bread? Well, ladies and gentlemen, as the scripture says, David made it quite clear. As for me and my house, I'll serve Yahweh. And I hope and trust that you pray tonight. Our world's in a terrible mess. We want you to be ready to meet him. You're listening, Pastor Buddy, tonight around the world on WWRB 2.390 on your radio dial, on your computer downloads. Praise Yahweh. Write me. We need to hear from you. Post Office Box 568. Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. You can call me at area code 423-351-1082. Be ready. Don't let Yahweh come upon you unaware. Don't let these days come upon you unaware. For next year, they've got a New World Order plan in place at the point of crossing. The heavens declares it. We're in perilous times. Planet X coming into view. Great shaking, earthquakes, famine, pestilence. And in this hour, Satan, who is designed to take the power, will make his move. He will cause all that dwell upon the earth to get into his system and to participate. Those who refuse will be killed. There will be a great slaughter with a plan to eliminate 6 billion people from the planet. The undesirable. Hope and pray and trust that you're one of those desirables. You can go to our website tonight. Brother Bob has got it up and running, operating on all cylinders. Praise Yahweh. And you can go to oneyahweh.com for our website. We got a lot of information related to this subject. We've got 10 hours of teaching on one series of the Scarlet Knights that I did several years ago. That's posted in the messages. You can go there to find out more about the Lady in Red. Praise Yahweh. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is so wonderful to be with you tonight. We're going to have a Passover here coming up very soon. It'll start on the night of the 15th. And we're going to commence on Sunday night. That's May the 15th. Make a note of that if you'd like to attend our Passover coming up. This will be your last one, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm really serious about that. Times are looking so gloomy and so bad. It could be our last assemble. That's on Sunday night, old-fashioned foot washing. On the night of the 15th, that begins on a Sunday night. On the 16th, which will be Monday, we will kill the Passover lamb, and on Monday night, we will have the Feast of Passover, beginning at 7:30 to 8 o'clock, somewhere when the lamb gets done. The meal, we'll serve the meal on the night of the 16th. We will begin our festival of 7 days of unleavened bread. It'll be the 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th, 21st, 22nd, 23rd, and the feast will end on Tuesday, the 24th. So plan to be with us. We are working on the assembly, the chapel, where we will be meeting. And you won't have to gather under the tent like we normally do. Yahweh willing, we'll have the chapel ready to receive you. A nice place to sit, Yahweh willing. And we will preach some more of these wonderful truths that we preach and teach to you during the festival. We'll have daily altar services. Nightly altar service, offering of fire. Your requests will be taken. We will carry them to Yahweh the old-fashioned way in a covenant of salt that Yahweh told us to come and gather and to let our requests be known. We have seen some miracles and signs. In this festival, we'll be praying before Yahweh to cut short his time and to deliver us from this evil new world order that is coming into view. We have talked over 30 hours this year on the subject of Nibiru, Planet X, the destructive planet. The upheavals, the changes, the weather patterns, the earthquakes, the tsunamis, the death and the carnage that lays in its path. We'll be discussing that, showing you some videos of the actual sighting of Planet X reported at least 10 years ago. The government knows about it. The government is preparing for it. Are you ready for Planet X and the upheaval of the Earth spoken of in Matthew 21? We hope and trust that you are, and you're going to be ready when that day comes. Again, you can write me. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 568, Sweetwater, Tennessee 37874. You can call me tonight. Area code 423-351-1082. Well, we'll see you tomorrow night, ladies and gentlemen, around the world at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on WWRB. I'll be in here at 10 o'clock Eastern. Join us then. And until then, Yahweh bless you and Yahweh keep you.